I'm Gary Colley, your regular speaker, the evangelist of the Churches of Christ, and it's always a grateful privilege which is mine to be able to study with you day by day on Moments with the Bible. So we're glad that you're listening. We hope that you will want to listen on a regular basis. Our discussions the last few days have dealt with the question, does the Spirit go directly to heaven at death? We have shown, my friends, exclusive proof that indeed the Bible does not teach that the soul of the wicked goes to hell at death, nor the soul of the righteous goes to heaven at death. But we have learned that there is a realm intermediate between the judgment and life here that is called Hades, and that it has two compartments with disembodied spirits in them. There is a gulf between it where no one can cross. Hence, those who are righteous go into the paradise where Jesus and the thief went when he said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise," while the wicked go into the Tartarus part, which is for those who have lived an unrighteous life upon the earth, and they began to be in punishment even there. But because of these things, we learn that certainly people do not go to heaven and hell at the close of life. When we find that in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus, it does describe to us the future world. It does describe what happens between death and the judgment, and that time when those who are righteous shall go into the blessings of eternity of heaven, and those who are wicked shall go into Gehenna or hell. So in noticing this, we find that Abraham told the rich man that his five brethren back on the earth could hear Moses and the prophets. We hence understand that this was during the time of the law of Moses, that it was not the time of Christ and the apostles, or else he would have said, "Let them obey the gospel." Of course, whatever law we're living under is the law that we're subject to. It was, therefore, before the Christian age. Hence, it was before the Christian age, before the judgment, and therefore before the final consignment of men to their eternal destiny. Hence, these people were not, when they died, in eternity that they would remain in, but simply in a holding area of disembodied spirits until the judgment. I want to answer something also further before the close of our discussion, that some say in the King James translation it plainly says the rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. Doesn't that prove, they say, that he was already in the lake of fire? No, ma'am. No, sir, it does not. And for obvious reasons. Now note that the Greek Testament, there are two words translated by our one English word for hell. One of these words is the word Hades, and that word, which we've just been speaking about this week, a word that means the unseen, the realm of departed spirits. But there is another word, Gehenna, that we have also used, and that is made up of two Greek terms, which is henna and earth. Now, this simply represents the eternity into which men go when they die. But at this time, 300 years ago, when the King James translation was made in 1611, our English word hell conveyed both of those meanings. That is, it meant what it means today, a place of punishment. But it also meant an unseen place. This does not mean that the King James translation is incorrect, but when in 1901 the American Standard translators, knowing the word hell no longer conveyed the meaning of the Greek word Hades, they simply anglicized it, that is, they gave it an English form and spelling, and put it in the text so the passage reads, "The rich man lifted up his eyes in Hades." Man's destiny is determined here on earth. He either is in the Lord's church or he's out of the church. He's either obedient to the gospel or he rejects the gospel. But whichever he chooses will determine where he shall go in Hades at death, and then, after the judgment, into the eternity of heaven or hell. Wish we had more time, but our time is gone.